This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh,
ooh, ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki. Here I am. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. How are you today? Oh, it's Thursday. Man, this has felt like a long week of shows. I've liked it, but I will say that it feels never ending. I don't know if anyone else feels that way after the holiday break. Oh, it's probably, whenever you feel like a day is a different day, like, doesn't this Tuesday feel like Friday? It's one of those things where everyone agrees with you. Do you ever notice that, Noah? Like, whenever you feel like a day is a different day, and you say it out loud, people agree.
Yeah.
It's like we all have a common circadian rhythm system. I don't, science words. How are you this morning, Noah, this afternoon?
Good. How are you this morning?
You know, it's definitely the afternoon, and and we're starting late because I cannot stop sleeping. I can't stop sleeping. I'm kind of like weaning myself off an antidepressant because I just want to come again.
I'm just like, Nikki.
So I'm responsibly weaning through a plan that my doctor has not approved, but that I Googled, and I've done this before with like literally, I've been on every single antidepressant you could list since I was 18. And I always do this where now I'm just skipping days, but I think maybe that's a trip. And I think my P-Rod is about to come. And I think that always sends me into this, like, I just am filled with sand. My body just cannot get up, and I just want to keep going back to sleep. And you know that I've been listening to that sleep podcast by Sam Harris and that other guy that studies sleep who talks like this and is a very hypnotizing sounding man. And he talks about sleep, and he says, if you wake up in the morning and your alarm goes off
and you still could go back to sleep, that means you're not getting enough sleep. And I was like, damn. When he said that, I don't know why that I keep sharing that factoid with literally anyone that will hear it. And it's because I just think that obviously it seems like, oh, that's so obvious. But it's just so, and I overuse this word, I got to come up with a new word. It's ubiquitous for Americans to hit the alarm and go, oh, you know, mm-hmm. That's the start of every rom-com is like a sloppy hand on a alarm clock going, and it's like, it's a beautiful morning. And then a girl gets up and she's like single and sad until a man comes into her life and then everything works. I have no fear of few people that just like wake up and are like, it's time. And if you do, you have good sleep hygiene. Do you feel that way about the alarm clock, Noah? Could you keep sleeping?
I feel like I'm filled with sand too, as you put it. I've been trying to go to bed at a decent time, and I keep waking up after 5 hours, and then I'm up, and then I'm so tempted to go on my phone.
Yes.
And I'm not, you know, it's like the phone mimics daylight, so it's a bad idea to do it. But it also helps me, like all the scrolling helps my eyes roll back, like roll to the back of my head to
Yeah, and all the times that all the things you see that make your eyes roll.
Right, exactly. So like, it does help.
God. Yeah, that's true. But man, it's, I want to get one of those sleep trackers. And I can't get to the end of this fucking podcast. It's like 3.5 hours long. And so at the end of the podcast, they talk about.
Do you fall asleep when you listen to it?
They are so smart that if I'm not paying attention, fully focused, like meditating on my breath, it's almost like meditating. You know, if you are someone who meditates or has, you have to focus on your breath and only that. And then when your mind wanders, you come back to the breath. Well, this is like the breath, but if you lose focus, you miss a chunk of information. So then you got to go back. So I've listened to the same thing over and over because I just have this obsession with getting all the information. And they're too smart, so I can't get to the end. But they do talk about sleep trackers and which ones are the best one. And I'm going to get one because I want to start like knowing what's going on. I don't have Luigi on my lap today. He is at my parents' house because I'm going to San Francisco and Portland this weekend. Two shows in Portland, one in San Francisco. But I do have another pet that I just want to get really quick that I see because I couldn't find it this morning. I couldn't find him this morning. And then I saw him when I started podcasting. Hold on, one second.
Okay.
Come here. Come here, Papa. Oh, yes, 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 good boy. Okay, the Papa. Oh, that's my good boy. That's my Roomba. Oh, the Papa, Papa.
He got tangled in some cords. It's so dumb. This Roomba, ew! And it's like I'm hugging a vacuum. What is this? This joke does not pay off. And it really just got me so dirty. God damn it, Roomba. I fucking hate you. I'm going to beat my Roomba. Could you get in trouble for that?
Not yet.
Yeah, someday the robots will be sentient and they'll remember which one of you. Why do robots always talk like this when they become sentient and they decide to kill you? I don't know. They're the same guy as that sleep guy. Yeah, I've been having terrible nightmares and just wanting to go back into them. I'm a little bit of a slug. And I was supposed to go do a Reiki session later on with my friend / voice coach who does Reiki, which is all, you just lay on a fucking bed and she makes sounds around you and doesn't touch you. It's fucking great. Like she just hits gongs and like does all these swirling pots and like these little crystal, like, you know, what are the wind chimes and shit. It's so good. But I was supposed to go at 2 and I just canceled it because I wanted to wake up early this morning and get so much done before the podcast, but I couldn't even finish breakfast because I'm just so slow. But I'm feeling good as I'm talking. And I went to my parents' house last night to watch the Beatles documentary. Have you seen it yet, Noah? Are you a Beatles fan?
I think they're okay. They're my dad's favorite band, so I like them for that reason.
Same. But not, they're my dad's favorite band, but I do love them, and they send the same kind of chills through my body when I see them perform or see something new or hear something new that I get from, like, Taylor Swift. They were probably my first obsession, And I think it was a way to like connect with my dad, but I was also like really had a crush on them. And I love them a lot. And I was excited about this documentary. Whew, boy, is it a lot of nothing, if you ask me.
Oh, really?
And as a Beatles fan, I know that's probably sacrilege to say, but it's so, it's tedious. Is anyone with me on this? Like, I've only watched the first episode, and we didn't even get through that because it's 2 hours and something long. But it's one of those things you can put on and talk through the whole thing because there's no plot. There's no story you need to follow. It's just watching. It's fly on the wall watching band members talk. And it bugs me because I am very fine-tuned to reality shows where they pipe in audio where there's not actually that being said in that scene. And that's what happened here because they had to, and they tell you what happens. You know, they said they have 150 hours of audio and like 90 hours of video. So they're using audio and putting it into video that where it didn't, you know, this audio occurred somewhere on these premises in the same condition. So it's not like so insincere to do this because these we know that this happened. But it bugs me when someone is supposed, like it's George talking and they show the back of his head and his head's not moving at all. When you talk, your head bobbles a little bit. And these, I can sniff out when audio isn't matching the video immediately. I'm very, like, I can do it in movies and TV. I can do it in reality TV. It happens constantly. I'm just a cynical viewer of stuff. And so I just know when things are being faked. And there's so much of that in this documentary because they have to. And they tell you beforehand that is what they do. They try to recreate it as like honestly as possible. But they are telling you like there will be some places where audio. And they say that they only use still images over the audio that has no video. Mm-hmm. I call BS. But it's just a bunch of guys. And Andrew was like, pay attention. You're going to love how they just talk in shorthand. Like they just have a secret language. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's 60s British. It's just, it's 60s British. It's a different language because they use different words, like grotty, instead of like to mean something. I don't know. Because Andrew today was like, did you hear the secret language? I'm like, Andrew, it's British. It's just language. Some people with a British accent in the 60s. You know, if you heard people talk in the 60s in a, you know, with an American accent, you'd be like, oh, this is kind of weird. Because they use different words and, you know, if someone hears someone say it, that's lit 40 years from now, 50 years from now, you'd go, oh, wow, they have a secret language. No, that's just what people said. So I think that was what was going on. But boy, was it a snooze fest. And my dad and mom were, they'd already seen that episode. So it was nice that I could just talk over it and we can just hang out. But at one point I was like, can we shut this bitch down and pull up Taylor Swift on SNL, because you guys haven't seen her yet on that. And so I made them watch 10 minutes of Taylor Swift on SNL. And I tried to film it on my Instagram because I thought my mom was going to say something funny during it or just be like, she's so great. Like I just thought she'd get some commentary, but they just sat in silence the whole time. I don't know what that meant. And my mom just wanted to know what she wore for it when I was talking about it yesterday. But then also last night I got home from watching Get Back at my parents' house. And Andrew had rented that Anthony Bourdain movie, and it's so good and heartbreaking, and he's kind of an asshole and such a dark soul. Like, not a dark soul, but, like, so negative. Definitely was a heroin addict. He, you know, he was a junkie. He recovered. He became a huge celebrity. He became a chef, poured his addiction into that because he quit being a junkie cold turkey. He didn't, you know, find a program. He didn't go to rehab. He didn't have like a, you can't just quit. There's a David Cho's brother, who's an artist in the movie, is also a junkie. And he says, you know, I always talked to Anthony and I said, how did you quit heroin cold turkey? No one I know has ever quit heroin cold turkey. And he had this whole story about, I looked at myself in the mirror and I just didn't want to be that anymore. And I just saw a future for this man. That's all well and good, but like you will put it somewhere else unless you develop up, like unless you have work around it and have like a support system, which he did not have. He was always, the theme of his life was alone. And this guy, this artist, was like, I remember believing him at the time, but now I realize he just put it into other things. And you could see all these chapters of his life where he got obsessed with certain women. He got obsessed with being a father. He got obsessed with jujitsu, like obsessed with jujitsu. His camera ops were like, I don't even know jujitsu. And I'd go, Anthony, I don't want to hear about fucking jujitsu anymore. I don't know anything about jujitsu. And you've talked to me about jujitsu for 150 hours. And his second wife got him into it. And she goes, I love jujitsu. And she goes, and as everyone knows, anyone who does jujitsu becomes at one point unbearable to be around. Unbearable. And it's like, why? I don't get it, Noah. Why is jujitsu this thing that everyone just gets addicted to it, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to explain unless you get into it, but you just become like punishingly obsessed. And all you want to do is talk about it, figure out your game, figure out the little technique that you can adjust to get better. It sounds like it's very punishing.
People with like addictive personalities. Are there a lot of heroin addicts or like, you know, ex-cons type people in jujitsu? A lot of, you know, there's some sports that attract or things that attract junkies, like being chefs. There are a lot of chefs that are junkies because it's just such a high pressure, fly by the seat of your pants, make quick decisions kind of thing. He was trying to explain it like with how jujitsu or his wife was like, it just moves so fast and you have to wiggle out of situations very quickly and make decisions on the fly. Like, it's almost like it was kind of like what he wasn't, because he stopped being a chef once he became famous. Gladly, because he was like, that world was, you know, abusive and, you know, backbreaking and soul crushing. But I think he missed that kind of running around. I really related to a lot of it, to be honest. They said he was always rushing everywhere. He was rushing into a situation, he was rushing out of it. Although, there was one quote he had where he was like, there's nothing worse than mediocrity. Like, mediocrity is the most disgusting thing you can be, or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, that's my biggest fear, is that, because I know that there are times where I just don't have the energy to be as good as I can be. That's my thing, is like, I have the potential to be as good as this person that I think is the best. You know, like, I know that I could be, this is cocky, if I applied myself and only worked at it, I could be as good as the best comedians out there, like, or whatever. I really could. Or because I do believe it's all about practice and about like discipline. That's what talent is. And there is something to having a kind of brain that is good for these things that I've chosen to do, but I just don't have the energy to do it. And so I feel like if you don't get to the top potential of what you're the highest level of how you could perform, then you're mediocre. Then you're like taking less. But the truth is that I don't want to get to the top. Sometimes when you reach that level, you sacrifice everything else. And I have to remember these people that I look at that I'm jealous of their life or like their success or their skill or their talent, that their art actually in the end, maybe they are operating at a 10 in terms of joke structure and joke formation for the jokes that they're doing. But because they're not living a life outside of that so that they can reach that 10, their material always stays on this surface level of never, they don't reach a different depth of material. So, you know, Bob, or, you know, I might only reach a level of 7 for, you know, accuracy and meticulousness and like having this joke carved out perfectly, where, you know, a joke smith or someone like I could look at it and go, that joke is airtight. There's nothing wrong with it. They've squeezed every little piece of juice out of that topic. Those are the comedians I admire. But when I fail to do that, it's because I want to go take a nap or because I want to go watch a show or hang out with a friend or fucking do nothing. And I think those moments, although my jokes maybe never will get past a 7 in terms of the 10 that I could achieve, the subject matter and the things I talk about I would rather have someone talk about stuff that matters to me and that connects with me on a soulful level and reach a 7 than things that don't and reach a 10. So that's what I have to remember. And that's just for me today to get through any self-doubt I have. But I did cancel my Reiki session. And I did, my voice teacher is trans and was a trans woman. And she recently asked me if I would teach her how to do her makeup. She's my age and transitioned like 5 years ago. And is so like, you would never know that she had transitioned. She just presents as a woman to me. And she asked me to teach her how to do her makeup. We did it one time. And like, it was so different than what she's used to that she was just like, kind of shocked. Because when you first put on like a lot of makeup, you're like, what the fuck? But she did love it and she looked beautiful. So I went and got her all this. I was like, I need to get you like a kit of just the simple thing. So I have all this makeup I want to give her that I bought her. And so I'm probably going to just have her come get that and I'll do another tutorial. But I got to figure out my fucking day. Oh, God. Got San Francisco tomorrow. Early flight, and I'm going to see a movie tonight. I'm going to see Ghostbusters. Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew! Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy, because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things, and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself, and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start, because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire, and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NikkiGlaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/NikkiGlaser.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What up?
What's up?
Happy Brenna's birthday.
Oh, hey, baby.
Brenna's birthday.
It's Brenna's birthday, baby. I miss you. I kiss you.
She's literally 10 feet away.
How's it going?
It's good. We just filled out the application. We're going to be neighbors.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Jackpot.
Yuck.
Oh, I got to send my lease renewal. I forgot to do that. God, I got a lot
you
of
get
shit
kicked
to do.
Out of the building.
That would be hilarious if I have to leave and you're still here.
And you take the apartment we really wanted.
I wouldn't take that fucking small shithole.
That's our dream house.
I haven't seen it yet.
That's
sure
our dream
great.
House.
Yeah. So I finished the Bourdain.
I don't
movie.
Know if that's the.
Why did you not watch it all? It is the one.
It said 2013.
Really?
I think that's like an old documentary. I don't think that's the
no,
one.
No, it's not. It was 2000. They have it all up to his death in 2018.
Are you sure?
I watched it last night, he dies in it, and he wasn't dead in 2013. So that would have been very prophetic. It's 100% the one where you watch the beginning of it, Andrew, and they're talking about him committing suicide.
I know, but then
it's
I literally
Road
put it
Runner.
On. Yes, I put it on today. And I could have swore it said 2013. I was like, oh my God, we've been watching an old documentary.
No, why did you guys stop it right away? You just got bored?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A little birthday love making. Not on the couch.
Took
it to the bed.
Nice. I finished it. I was sobbing at the end. It was so good. I can't wait for you to finish it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I hope he doesn't die.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you knew. Speaking of things I haven't seen, I'm going to see Ghostbusters tonight. I didn't even know there was a new Ghostbusters. Who's in this?
Wait, what? Like with all the women?
No, there's a new Ghostbusters. Is that right? Or are they just bringing the old Ghostbusters back?
No, I think there's a new one. I'm looking it up right now.
Why don't I know anything about movies? I don't know. Yeah. There's a new Spider-Man coming out. I didn't know about that. I don't know about any of this shit.
There's been 8,000
Spider-Man. But I always know when those things, at least I don't see them, but I at least know they're coming out. You know, it's like in the ether.
Yes. I mean, I don't think so.
Who's
much.
In this Ghostbusters?
Paul Rudd.
Okay.
In that case.
Who else?
And then old school Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're in the original.
Right. I've never seen the original. Can I see? Okay, Ernie Hudson's in the original. Can I see this Ghostbusters without having seen the original? I'll probably be the only one in the fucking theater who hasn't seen the original. And I know that's a bad part of my personality.
You'll be fine.
But I was just scared as a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't like ghosts. That Slimer thing scared the fuck out of me.
The guy in the painting scared the shit out of me.
Yes. Yeah. I knew enough that
kinda
I go,
looked like your
no.
dad a little bit.
Oh, okay.
He's like very blonde hair. And
my dad doesn't have blonde hair.
He did.
Get back.
Get back. To,
you know what I love about the get back thing? One thing I noticed. So John Lennon is late to one of their practices. Okay.
Yeah.
They're like, Ringo's like, I'm always on time. And Paul is like, Ringo, good old Ringo, always on time. And John is at the time snorting heroin at night, my dad said. My dad knows a lot of extra details.
Sure he did.
The old man in the painting?
The too.
No, he was, because no, my no, dad also said last night, he's like, Julian Lennon said he watched this documentary and said I'd have a whole new appreciation for my dad. I go, you just said that he's snorting heroin, Dad. And he goes, oh, well, he's only doing that at night. I'm like, well, I wouldn't want to watch my dad as an addict and feel closer to him, but maybe, I don't know. So which way is it? Is Julian Lennon seeing a new side of his dad that he loves, or is John Lennon a heroin addict? Because you can't have it both ways.
Well, maybe he saw daddy at home and not daddy at work. You know what I mean?
I mean, he saw daddy at work. Not in these kind of
thinking
sessions.
About my life, like you see daddy at home, they're fighting at home, they're angry at home.
Yeah, you didn't see the process.
I didn't see daddy saving cancer lives.
To be honest, your dad was maybe kind of fucking at work too sometimes.
Yeah, but he was only when he would do heroin. Which is Tuesday, Thursday. But his patients never knew.
My grandpa was an eye surgeon, my dad's dad, and he did some meth back in the day to get through surgeries. And also, when these guys, it says in the beginning of Get Back that the Beatles would play in the court when they were the Quarrymen, and they would play 8 hours a night. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that part.
Yes, you have, because it's the very first opening scene. When you say you watch something, you don't watch it because you're on your phone. I just don't believe it anymore.
Who knows anymore?
There's no way you watch.
Also, an eye surgeon on meth is pretty scary.
No, they all were back then. Amphetamines, meth is pretty much like, you know, a very extreme form of ADD meds. So they were just, it would make them focused and be able to work, do surgeries for hours and hours and hours. I mean, they gave it to the Nazis. Like, people get fucking worked on meth before it starts to rot their face and their teeth. I got into a whole subreddit last night.
There's a nice window you could probably,
there's a subreddit called, where people talk, are all meth users, and they talk about meth like it's like, you know, weed culture. They're just like, got a fucking new meth pipe today. And they're all like smoking meth and talking about it. Like, what's the best way to smoke meth? I haven't slept for 8 days. Is that too long? They're like, keep going, man. Like, it's this supportive community of lucid meth users. And I use lucid in quotes, but they're writing like interesting things. They're all like, They all go like, oh, I had a shift at my job. People are just doing meth.
Yeah.
Don't do meth, by the way. Don't ever do meth.
No, we're not promoting meth.
But people, some girl was on there and was like, hey, I'm thinking about doing meth for the first time. And they're all like, so start like this. And it's like, what? She's 19 and you're telling her to start meth.
You need a starter kit. You start with Adderall. You work your way up.
Yeah. I mean, that's how, but it's, anyway, my grandpa was an eye surgeon who was definitely on meth when he was working, and the Beatles used to do, they were doing meth too when they were, or like a form of it, you know, it wasn't like the meth we know now, like hillbilly heroin, but they were doing meth because it says the Quarrymen played the Beatles were so good when they debuted and became, you know, in 1962, 63, and they became the biggest band in Britain. And then they came over to the US. They were so good because they put in their 10,000 hours.
Yes.
They had been playing as a band since they were for like 3 years. They played 8 hours a night for five years.
Now
maybe.
I remember that.
8 hours a night.
In that little white
circle. Yes, in that little, I forget the name of it.
And people were very drunk and loud and disorderly.
People go,
like, they had to deal with it.
These guys so good? Yeah. Because the hours they put in, if you don't put in the hours, you're not good. And it's like, that's what no one ever sees, is all the work that goes into being that good. We just go, these young boys from Liverpool, how'd they get so good? It's like they not sacrificed, they loved playing and they did a lot of meth to get it done.
I just feel like when watching that doc, I didn't feel like they were good friends, but they were all, like, Paul was constantly like saying, oh, I'll just go off on my own then. Oh, I'll go off on my, like he said it like 15 times.
No, George did.
But Paul said it too. If you paid attention,
poor Paul. I empathize with Paul because everyone else is just like,
no. Paul seems like a worker.
Oh, we could do it this way. Oh, I'm gonna new. It's like Paul's like, we got to make a decision, and you guys need to stop playing so we can realize what we're doing for a second.
Yeah, that scene was pretty like intense, wasn't it?
Yes, I feel like a Paul a lot of times, in which you're the enemy because you're the one going, guys, we need to do this, and everyone goes, oh, taskmaster, and he's like. But at this time, Brian Epstein had died, their manager.
Yeah.
So that is a manager. They always had someone steering them and telling them collectively as a group, guys, you all have to do this. And if you don't do this, you're like, you know, pretty much their their boss.
Yeah.
And this was a rudderless ship.
I like when they talk about him. Like, he helped us so much. He told us to wear suits and we wore suits.
Yeah.
And that was like the whole example. But it worked. Like the black and white suits with the haircut, everyone the same.
Yeah.
It worked.
But
I mean,
that those
Paul McCartney, you could tell, and John, but like, whatever. They're all brilliant in their own right. But Paul McCartney really stood out to me in like, granted, it showed like he came up with those singles, but like he's on another level of just like of creativity. And I love how they were like, we're going to simplify everything and then make it. Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah, because you.
As opposed to the other way. Well, obviously, with music, I guess you can't.
Yeah, you have to like, it's the same as like a joke. Like, okay, the bones of the joke are, I start with like a one liner. And then from there, you can build to like a bigger concept. But like, oh, okay, this thing's funny. Instead of tackling when comedians go, oh, I got to write a bit. They see something that like me or you are doing. And we've been doing this for fucking forever. And young comics are like, I got to write a bit, like a 4-minute bit about shoelaces. And it's like, no,
just write
one joke about shoelaces and then go to the next topic. Like, don't make yourself crazy. Even like when I'm trying to write a song, sometimes I'm just like, it's too daunting to write a whole song, but it's like, write a bad song. Just write a bad fucking simple song like Alligator Boy.
Yeah.
And then Alligator Boy could become this like,
or
you know,
could
it could
just
become
Island Boy, which blows up. Sometimes simple's
better. Island Boy.
Sometimes simple's better.
I saved a Reddit post of Island Boy guys getting fucking
booed.
Booed. Yeah. I know you probably saw that on TikTok.
I live in Miami.
Yeah.
By the way, everyone that goes to live in Miami is a fucking cheese dick, so I'm actually on the Island Boy side.
I was totally on their side. Those poor guys bombing their faces off, which their faces look like they've already been bombed off because they're covered in tattoos. It looks like ash.
It looks like they lit their hair as the wick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that the coolest part about the documentary that I've seen so far, and I've only watched, I didn't even finish the first episode before I was like, let's turn this off and watch Taylor Swift. oh, God, last night was so funny at my parents. But so John Lennon's late to rehearsal, and it's Ringo, George, and Paul, and they're all waiting, and Paul is just playing a bass, which obviously only has 4 strings, and he's playing it like a guitar, and he's like fucking around on it. And they're, at this point, they're 12 days out from performing this like concert that's like the Beatles are back kind of thing. They're doing this. The whole documentary is them writing they have like 20 days to write
like 15 songs,
15
something.
Songs
something crazy,
and learn those songs, then perform them live, which ends up being the rooftop concert that was their last concert before they broke up. John's running late this morning because he's probably like fucking hungover. And he's always late. And they're all just kind of waiting around. And Paul picks up the bass and just starts like fucking around. And they're all kind of like talking and schmoozing, drinking coffee. And then all of a sudden he starts like doing this riff. And out of that riff comes the number one single from that album, Get Back. And if John would not have been late, we might not have Get Back, which is so cool to think that like if John would have been there, they would have been like, okay, let's get back to, let's not get back. Let's move forward with this song we were working on yesterday.
That would have
been
the name of
Move forward.
I saw that clip. Writing other songs.
So Jessica was a man who thought he... Or was a woman who thought he was a... Something.
So did he come up with the lyrics? Because I saw that clip. It was like just amazing to see them creative like that. And just like so like free form. So do you think he came up with the lyrics also at the same time? He came up with the riff?
Came up with some of them.
I'd have to watch it again. The lyrics are always so interesting because I don't know what songs ended up on this album versus songs they had already done. And sometimes during these rehearsals, they will just start singing their other songs that we know and love. Mm. And sometimes they're working out the rudiment. They'll kind of transform songs that we already know and like kind of like fuck around with them and make them sound different, just noodling around. And you go, oh, wait, is that the beginning stages of that song, yesterday? Yeah. You go, no, they're just playing yesterday to warm up. And then sometimes it's a song that ends up on this album that isn't created yet. So you don't know where. I need to know, like, which songs are being tracked out at that moment.
I also want to know.
The lyrical process is insane because they're writing it all on paper. There's no phones. The number one thing you notice about this, no phones, no water bottles. Fucking insane. When Yoko Ono is looking down, she's reading a book or she's writing on a notepad. Or she just has to stare and watch them.
Yeah.
Like, that's the wild thing about this is no phones and no water bottles. The water bottles thing, you will, once you open your eyes to it and see no water bottles, you'll be like, whoa, a water bottle-less world. I didn't even realize it. And their color scheme in the background for a lot of this is the same as our background of this. Oh. It's the same two colors. It's so cool.
I wonder, what was I going to say? Shit.
Sorry.
I forgot, but
lyrics. Well,
I think there was probably some joke about yesterday was written also because John was late that day too.
You know, it started as scrambled eggs. Do you know that was it? Wait, those were the filler words. Because sometimes when people are writing songs, they just put in, you know, like.
I like that.
Yeah, scrambled eggs was the first thing. And also, Let It Be was, oh no, that was from Sesame Street. They did a cover of it, like, Let Her Be, Let Her Be, Let Her Be, Let Her Be.
Yeah, I appreciated the doc, but yeah,
I love thinking of if John Lennon would have been on time, we wouldn't have Get Back.
Oh, this is what I wanted to
but
ask
also,
you.
But also, if he would have been on time, what song could have happened that didn't happen? You know, it's vice versa.
What about this would have? Do you think, as a band, because they put in so many hours up top, made them great, but it also, you get sick of people. I mean, that's a lot of time together. So would the Beatles have lasted another few years
They wouldn't have been as good if they didn't get that time in. And they were young, and when you put in that kind of, the thing is they got sick of each other because they all got egos because they got famous.
Yeah.
And they all got resentful of each other because, you know, you saw it in kind of Almost Famous, the front man.
Yeah.
They debut the t-shirt and the guy in the front and all the guys are blurry in the background. Guy, yeah. It's so funny. And yeah, I mean, you could see George had a huge chip on his shoulder at one point, during this documentary, George quits the band and just walks out. And you don't even know it. It's so subtle because George has just monks sitting around just taking up space. And John Lennon's like, who's that old man over there?
Yeah.
And it's like a 20-year-old guy that's just a monk. He's like, who's that old man over there? All right, guys.
Ringo
doesn't do anything.
Say a word.
Ringo is
I love his eyebrow, by the way. Very cool eyebrow.
You know, there's something to be said about guys who don't get involved when two people are fighting and just like kind of stay back and say nothing. But it's also like, pick a fucking side and have... I wanted so many times, Ringo, say something.
It was incredible how he stays...
And Ringo's mouth is always open when he's drumming. I love Ringo, but do I?
I don't know. I mean, I just
Richard
love...
Stocky.
I think it's impressive that he didn't say a word. You know what I mean? It is also funny that if someone leaves the band and because no one really talks to them or thinks of them, no one really recognizes
and,
like, I'm out of here! And it's like, when did you
Yoko
leave?
And Yoko just sitting there.
I came
there.
Back!
The ball's on Yoko to just sit there like she's a Beatle.
What about when she was screaming? And someone told us that story.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that clip yet. Oh. We've got to look that up. But I didn't see the part where she's screaming.
But she was
yet.
Screaming in the Beatles.
Let me just tell you, I
God,
recommend.
I hope people out there like the Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles documentary, if you're not a fan, I'd skip it. But if you are,
you pretty much got everything.
If you're not a fan of Anthony Bourdain, still see Roadrunner. It is really great and very interesting about addiction and just a guy that was always going to die at some point. He just couldn't. And when they ask, like, what did he die of? Pain. He just died. He couldn't take the world. And someone said in the documentary, if he would have been in that hotel room where he killed himself, if someone else would have been in there, he would have murdered them. Someone was going to die.
Oh,
he
wow.
just was alone. And so he killed himself because he was homicidal as well.
I think it's probably because of that cobra heart he ate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I couldn't even watch that scene.
If I ate a cobra heart, I'm murdering everyone in this room.
Cobra Heart sounds like a 80s single from a band. A
called
band.
Heart.
Me and my Cobra Heart. Let's get
you
to
know
the news.
That it actually first was written as Cobra Fart. And then not many people know that.
News.
It's pretty crazy.
News. You're here
so what else is going on? You're first. It's Thursday, folks. You know what that means out there? It is Thursday. Hope you're having all the swells. Hope you have a great weekend. We're going to be in San Francisco and Portland, two different cities over there. All right.
Yeah, two shows in Portland. Did you know that?
Yes, we have to have a tight schedule.
I know. I heard it. I heard it already. I know the drill. I've been scolded already.
through text form, but we love him nonetheless.
He very much
all right
cares about the show, and thank God someone does.
Yeah, thank God we have one person.
If you're coming to the early show in Portland, it will be a tight show. You will get a full hour of my stand-up, but the rest of the show will be tight.
And yeah, and there will be a hook just in case. Okay. The best sex position.
Okay. Listening.
For each zodiac sign.
Oh, God. I'm out. I was listening, and now I'm out.
Oh, come on.
I'm so sick of zodiac signs. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm out on zodiac signs.
But this is still
fun.
You get to say that.
You just want to know more about yourself. Oh. Just know that zodiac signs just tell you things you already know about yourself, and you go, whoa, that is me. It's like, but you already know you, so why is this impressive?
Well, here's the thing. If you're reading your zodiac sign, you're saying, that's me, go down, read all of them, and they're all you.
Yeah, we should do a blind zodiac thing with someone. We should call someone who cares about the stuff so much, read all of the charts, and say, which one is you?
Which one's you? And they're going to go,
I know I resonate with Gemini, but my moon is Gemini rising in Jupiter. Yeah. So that actually is actually me.
Because I was born at 11:46 on a Tuesday, and there was 3 clouds in the sky, and my mom had on sandals.
And I'm not that intelligent.
But sometimes I look up at
people, there's so many intelligent people that believe in this stuff.
Oh,
so
stick with the first thing you said, Nick.
I honestly do. I used to think people that believed in this stuff weren't intelligent until so many of my intelligent friends believe in it. And so I just go, okay.
All right. So Gemini.
It's not for me.
You're Gemini, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. You get bored quickly. So to keep things spicy in the love department, you use positions that involve some acrobatics and don't confine them to one space.
No.
Take the standing spoon, for instance.
If anything, I do not get bored. I love exactly what I like, and I want to just do that every time.
So it's eating oatmeal while getting your ass eaten.
Yeah. Eating oatmeal is a euphemism for getting my ass eaten, because that's the only thing that's coming out, too.
Oatmeal. Callback. Ham drip. It's something. Okay, start out making love up against a wall. Then you move to a table, the floor, a chair.
No.
Okay. Look, they didn't get mine right either.
This is going to hurt my backbone, because I'm always on my back, and my spine will get hurt on tables. Whenever I fuck on a floor, my spine always gets rug burned because it juts out like a stegosaurus, and I don't want that. I want to be on a bed. I want to be laying on my back. I want my legs around my head like I'm a baby getting changed. I want to be blindfolded, and I want things put in my holes.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a Sagittarius.
That's a Taurus.
That's Sagittarius.
I'm a total Sag. Oh, I'm a Sag.
Vag. You're a Vagitaurus.
Okay, what?
Wait,
read Brenna's.
No, so my mom Aries.
Okay.
So it likes being on top. No, I like bottom. I like my legs around my head, a baby bottle in my mouth, and a blindfold on the back of my head. I don't want my head.
You just want to look like Rambo. All right.
No. You know me. I like bottom, and I like the reverse cowgirl where my legs are around the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So then she could get down very deep and not get too far up to get off.
Now, is not she, to get off, where are her legs physical. Again?
She's inside. Like
she's
this.
Sitting.
Yeah, sitting, facing that way.
So do you help her like bounce up and down with your hands?
Mm-hmm.
What is propelling her? What's propelling her? Just you? You're lifting her?
Yeah, I'm lifting her, and she's squatting.
Because where are her feet?
I don't know where her feet are. I don't see
straight.
Her feet. I'd have to ask her. Maybe she's just levitating.
No, you can see if she's squatting or not, because she needs to propel herself in some way. If she's just laying like this, like with her legs straight out and bouncing, you can't get any leverage to bounce.
That's a good question. Right. Bretta! She went to get a pedicure.
Mm.
Wait, what month is what is today's month?
It's December 2nd.
Okay, so what would that be? Does anyone know?
I don't know. but she's not even here to corroborate if she likes that position.
Oh, she likes when someone other than Andrew has sex with her. That's
she's
what it
she's
says.
Actually a Sag.
Oh, ooh. She is a Sag. What is a Sag, Noah? Do we know?
Okay. They have an affinity for flexibility and adventure. Putting a twist on a common sex position is a way to go. Case in point, the corkscrew. In this position, the receiving partner lies on their side with legs bent, facing away from their partner, who stands at the edge of the bed and enters from behind.
Ooh, I like a corkscrew.
That's pretty on. point. That maybe they are on the
listen. Who doesn't like a corkscrew? You get to just lay there and be in a ball like you're on a you're a diver.
It took me 40 years to know I could stand up when I fuck.
How do
maybe
you
I was on a bed. You know what it was? I realized what it is.
You never had a bed.
I never had a bed, not on the floor. So I couldn't stand up.
Oh my God, that's so insane.
Whoa.
Whoa, dude. And your bed is really low anyway.
No, this one's high. You'll check it out. It's high.
Okay. All right. I'll believe you.
Because I had to put stuff under there for my studios.
Dude, I've been just giving. The best thing ever is just to give. Like, I recommend this to women so much.
What is it?
Let your guy just lay back and fucking relax and just give him a hand job with a bunch of oil and just talk. Just talk like a slow hand job with like no goal and just talk about life and just like talk to them and like get just do whatever you want while you're like giving them a massage. Maybe act like you're a masseuse and be like, can I just like kiss it? And they go like, what? Like just do like a like.
Dude,
a,
I literally did that last night.
It's the best.
I acted as the masseuse.
That's great.
It was funny. I like went in the bath. I knocked on the door. I go, you ready? Like yes. I went through the whole thing and then I go, is it okay if I touch you here? And then she
is this in lieu of buying her a massage for her birthday?
She touched my penis. I go, what are you doing, ma'am?
Yes, like, that's it was what like, I do.
It was so fun.
That's yeah. what I do.
And then I kissed her vagina. I was like, is that? Oh, I think I went over the line. She's yes. like, yes, you did, sir.
Yes,
like,
it's so good. But honestly, like it's just a great way to connect and like you don't have to do any like it's such and just use a ton of lube like use oil, massage oil and lube and it's like it just is it makes your life so easy you don't have to like fucking spit all over it and like if you don't want to and if you just have dry mouth like you gotta use lube. I always used to roll my eye when these ladies these sex positive women like Sex with Emily would be like lube is your best friend. I'd be like shut up about lube. Yeah. But it truly, if no, I am so mad in my 20s that I didn't use lube. It's like,
either.
It is just the best thing you can add to sex. It doesn't mean you're an old menopausal woman. Just please get yourself some lube, girls. I swear to God, it will change your life. Yeah. And guys will not judge you for it. They don't care.
Yeah, it's changed my sex life. It's way easier to fuck.
Yes.
Okay. A Florida woman who dialed the wrong number inadvertently spawned a friendship with a Rhode Island man that has lasted more than 20 years.
Oh, my God.
So this woman, Gladys, who's now 80.
God, we got to bring back that name, Gladys.
Gladys, yeah, it's a nice one. Kept dialing the wrong number. At first, it was just her saying, oh, I'm sorry. And she's really Southern, very hospitable, polite. I'm so sorry, child. And then she hangs up real quick, said Mike, who was on the other end. One day he sparked a conversation. I guess she kept calling the wrong number. And learned that Gladys went through a divorce and also lost her son. During that time, I was downhearted. And he felt my sympathy and everything and lifted me up.
Cuties.
After years of communicating via the phone, the friends finally met the first time over Thanksgiving.
Aww.
It's just like this like.
That's adorable. You know, it's like that one.
It's like a.
That text exchange from that guy and that woman. Do you ever see that? And they spend every Thanksgiving together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it was just they've been doing it forever.
I know, it's just a random number.
Yeah, it was like a random text mistake. And it was like, oh, what are you going to bring to Thanksgiving? It was some kind of, I don't know. It was a wrong number situation, but with text. And then now they always spend Thanksgiving together.
Interesting.
Have you ever done a wrong number thing and gotten to know anyone or had some fun with a wrong number text? Or
I had a guy calling me. For a little while, and I just would never pick up a wrong number because
could have been a beautiful story.
I know.
Yeah. Now who picks up a wrong number? Fact that this happened 20 years ago, that makes sense. This would never happen.
No,
now.
This happened
because you see a wrong number and you go, "What the fuck is this?"
Oh yes, yes. Also, I mean, why is she keep messing up? I don't understand.
She had an older number in her like
she
mind.
She was trying to reach her sister, whose area code was 401, but she dialed area code 410 constantly. And she kept reaching that guy.
That's so cute. So it's a whole different, you know,
there's
state.
Actually a story, a sports story that just came out yesterday. These kids started a basketball chat, like with their group of friends, high school kids. And they got one number wrong and it ended up being a football player who plays on the Bucks, Tampa Bay Bucks. And so then they FaceTimed. Ended up in the FaceTime, and they're like, holy shit.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And then Tom Brady ended up on there. Gronk ended up on it. All on this, like,
That's hilarious.
It's really fun for them. Yeah.
I sometimes get people faking like they're messaging me. Like they get my number and then they pretend like they have a fake text that's like, "Hey, I'll be at rehearsal later. I'm sorry I'm running late. I was writing a lot last night and I had to save a kitten on my way to..." They'll make them sound like a huge fucking hero.
So then
I go, "It's a wrong number, but that sounds so cool and we should be friends." And they fucking know it's me. And they do this one guy used to do it all the time, and he kept writing, and he would be like, "Wow, it's a wrong number." And I knew what he was doing, so I was trying to give him the idea that he was thinking it was working. Because I was like, "Wow, you sound like a really cool guy." Or like I said something like, "No," I just kept him going a little bit. And he kept on saying these fucking lies about his life and how interesting he was. And he's like, "Man, I mean, like, this is such a random thing. Like, we should keep in touch. What do you do?" And
I'm
like,
"Oh, yeah, I remember that."
Oh, it was such a... these guys are such sociopaths. It reminded me of that Reddit girl that just like created a... Or the TikTok girl talking about all the lengths she went to reach a guy. Or to make a guy
jealous. I just
love
the idea that it was just... like the nicest guy ever who this woman.
It was a liar.
Like you're like, "Fuck you." And it's just this old woman.
This guy was, should have found him because I would have just liked to just, you know, "Oh man, I wanted to match with this guy on one of these dating apps when I was on those and was swiped right on him just because he was like, you know, Trump is number one, God over everything. And I swiped right just so I was going to write him and be like, "Hey, I present as a liberal, but like truly Trump is my God. And like, let's meet up," and just like watch him meet up with me and then fucking just watch him. I don't know. I just want to see these people in real life, even though they walk amongst us.
Yeah. What'd be great is if he's like so hot.
I'm like, wear your best Trump shirt and I'll know it's you. Kind of like You've Got Mail, which I made you watch the other night.
And
so
fast forward, which was perfect.
Yeah.
It would be so great though if the Trump guy was like,
devastatingly handsome.
Yeah, and you were just like, "Okay,
you know what?
Let's just like
listen. I'm into Taylor Swift. People don't understand that."
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know. It's
I made you watch You've Got Mail the other night.
Yeah, I like the fast forward version. I think that could be an app.
I just would go, "Hey, let's just... here's the thing, scenes you need to know." And I would go to just the best scenes. I'm like, "Okay, so before this, he knows it's her. She doesn't know it's him yet. Boom." What I really realized, though, which a lot of people bring to my attention about my favorite movie, You've Got Mail, is that he's lying to her throughout the whole thing because he knows it's her. You know what? This lady looks a lot like Kathleen Kelly. What? Kathleen Kelly. She's a beautiful woman. Why are we talking about Kathleen Kelly? Well, if you don't like Kathleen Kelly, you're not going to like this girl. Why? Because it is Kathleen Kelly. That was Dave Chappelle. My favorite scene is him seeing that it's Kathleen Kelly before Tom Hanks does. And the thing is, once Tom Hanks realizes that the woman he's been talking to online is Kathleen Kelly, he doesn't tell her that he's the guy and then goes on to befriend her. And then they become great friends. She kind of falls in love with him, but is still holding out a place in her heart for this guy she's talking to online, which he's still talking to her. He's a fucking liar the whole time.
Yeah, he's the guy that's talking to you on your telephone. He's the same man.
It's wild that he, like, we never get his reasoning for why he does that and just doesn't come clean right away.
Yeah, I wonder why. Well, I don't.
Well, maybe we skipped the scene where it's Wayne's.
Yeah,
we jumped around a little bit. I have some more scenes of that movie to show you. It is my favorite movie. Let's take a quick break and come back with Why Do I Care?
No,
sports moment. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Sports moment. Let's do it.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Woo-wee. What do you got? Tiger Woods, y'all. Says he will never play golf again full time.
Oh.
But the 15-time major champ revealed Tuesday that he nearly lost a leg after the crash earlier this year. God. I'm lucky to be alive, but also to still have a limb. To see some of my shots fall short of the sky, a lot shorter than they used to, is a little eye-opening.
Yeah.
But at least I'm able to play golf at all again.
Dude, David Spade was the last person to play golf with him.
I know.
That's
We talked to Spade about it.
Yeah. Because they were shooting some like segment for some show.
Well, he was saying how Tiger's back was, like, so fucked up,
mm-hmm.
like, before the accident.
Yeah.
And then we were kind of joking, like, oh, the leg took away from the back pain. Like, it's hard to I'm sure that kind of might do something. I don't know. Oh,
That's why I would put a vibrator on my head when I would have a migraine, because it would create a new kind of pain that was, you know how you can take dull pains versus, like,
Yes.
There's like different kinds
grabbing
of pains.
Here, have you ever grabbed here?
Yes.
I
love a dull pain, but a sharp pain, I hate a sharp pain. I like a dull pain. So I'll make a dull pain supersede the sharp one. But God, pain sucks. I feel sad for him. Because I know he's in chronic pain. It's just crazy. Like, golf can make a body that injured. And well, this is pre-accident. Let's talk about
it. And like, he also worked out like, I mean, he was
a machine, yeah.
He was an animal. Because he wanted, his dad was like a Green Beret, so he wanted to impress his father his whole life. So he like went into Green Beret training. He lifted like he was going to.
What's going on with your golf game? Are you playing?
I shot a 38 yesterday.
Damn. Yeah. Wait, you went and played yesterday.
I figured out something. I had a lesson, and there's a lot of ego in golf. Ego will kill you in golf. It's a fucking great sport, man. But ego will kill you. And the thing is with your driver, the driver swing is different than the iron swing. But you can, if you choke down, you can swing almost like an iron with your driver, which you'll lose like 15 yards. So there's your ego, but you'll gain consistency. But it's a, because everyone, guy wants to, it's like what we were talking about yesterday. Drop 300 yards, work out the hardest, be the, but you could be the best by not.
I was
not
just talking about that
pushing.
At the top of the yeah. show. Like yeah. sometimes I want to work, I could make a joke of mine. If I wanted to work as hard as some of these comedians, if I wanted to reach my potential as a comedian and do like a 10 for every joke and like dissect a joke at a 10, the amount of energy that would take me to do yeah. would make it so I didn't live a life that would fulfill me enough to write about things other than those things. Yeah. So I might only reach a 7 in terms of how good my jokes are, but the depth of which the things those jokes are about
yeah.
are going to be far more interesting and consistent with what I want to do as a comedian.
That's the rub.
You can't have it all.
Ugh.
Relationships, you can't have it all. The person cannot be like everything you want them to be. Your talent, you can't have it all. You have to choose what's important to you. And it's not always going to be what's important to someone else.
And I met a new friend. If you're like a guy out there and you're listening to a show and you play golf and you don't like, oh, I can't play alone. Go play alone and team match up with someone. Look, you could end up getting someone terrible, but most likely you're going to get another. This kid was walking. He's in law school at Wash U. And I was like, hey, just ride in the cart. You don't have to walk. We just rode in the cart. We became like, I got his number at the end. We're going to play again. Like, he shot a 40. Like, it showed competitiveness. And I don't know. It's a beautiful thing. Those like quick little friendships that you can get through like a yes. common hobby if you get outside.
Has your obsession with golf wavered slightly though? Because I feel like I don't see you on TikTok constantly. I don't see you talking about it constantly as much. And is that a good thing, or do you feel like, oh, I'm not as obsessed, I'm gonna...
That's an interesting question, because I do feel like I was overdoing it.
Yes.
To the point where I wasn't understanding things I was learning, because I was just doing instead of stopping and processing.
Mm-hmm. So much of sleep in this sleep thing that I'm listening to is like, if you'd like to sacrifice an hour of sleep so you can study more or practice your swing more, your sleep is essential for taking the things that you learn during the day and downloading them. So it's almost like, you know, when you upload a file, but then it doesn't transfer to like where you need it to go. So it's on your computer, but it hasn't transferred. Like, that takes 7 hours, whereas opposed to like, you know, when we transfer the video files, it's like you get them on the computer, that's 7 minutes.
Yes.
And then to transfer them to the thing, it's like at 7 hours. And that's the difference between like going, oh, you know what, I'm sacrificing sleep and rest and like just yeah. not doing something so it can download. I think a lot of us cognitively are like, but if I'm not doing, I'm not learning. You need rest to actually have it.
And more isn't always, and I know we're using golf as an example, and I know
guitar, whenever I'm practicing the guitar thing, I will get it in my head so much, and then I just stop, and I'm like, now just meditate yes. for 20 minutes, because that's going to serve you better than just doing this again for 20 minutes.
And practicing with intention, so more isn't always more, if that makes sense. Like less can be more if you have intention. If you're hitting a ball and you're going, why am I hitting the ball like this? What am I learning from each individual shot? As opposed to a lot of, they call them like, I forget, like mattress warriors or mat warriors, where you just go and you just hit 400 balls and you get in a rhythm, and it's meditative, but you don't download anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
this
it's
book
it's
I'm
an
reading called Zen
thing.
Guitar talks all yeah. about that, of like just be mindful about yes. what you're doing. It's very interesting, but it makes you feel lazy as someone who sees, you know, success equals constantly working mm-hmm. and never resting. And rest is such an essential element and you know, meditation and slowing down is such an essential element to being the best that you can be. And it just seems, it seems counterintuitive a lot of times. And I always feel lazy.
Yeah, there's definitely a threshold of like, you're going to, if you want to learn that scale, you have to be obsessed.
But then you get to a point where you start sucking.
Yes.
And like that's, I did watch a video of myself from a year ago playing guitar, playing the same song that I can play obviously now. And it's insane how much better I am. And to me, this year was just a fucking wash. I've played a lot, but I haven't actually like practiced. Mm-hmm. I've just been like playing for fun, but it's just so nice to see how much progress there's been and how like it sounded like, I thought I sounded good last year and it was such shit. And this year I'm like, oh my God, it sounds so much better. And now I'm like, oh my God, next year, if I just do the same thing, which is just, I had an enjoyable, stress-free year of playing guitar. It was only just something I loved to do, never made me feel bad. I'm going to be that much better next year. And then like,
do you want to learn how to pick and stuff, or do you just like the rhythm? No,
I
don't want lead.
I just like, I want to be able to just sing. And I mean,
because rhythm-wise, it's on point. You know what I mean?
But it's like now it's just making it sound good and being able to do little effects like hammering on and like just doing like, you know what I mean? Like a little bit of that would be fun, but I'm not into like.
But don't you play so much? Doesn't your rhythm, same with the golf swing, like if you're not, you can't fucking break it down into 45 things. You need like three, simplify it. Like how you strum, you don't even want to really think about how, you want to just think about maybe one thing. Two things.
It's so nice when it becomes.
But if you're like, I gotta press hard with this finger.
No, it starts that way. And then when you practice it enough, it becomes second nature because your body downloads it as like, this is just what we do. It's like driving. When you first start driving, it's like, I mean, you still drive like that, but like the left lane. And then it just becomes like, oh, that's just what I do now. I don't have to think about it. It's just natural. You still muscle drive memory. Like that.
You drive like a crazy person.
You drive like, but you drive like they're humming. My mom does the same thing.
This is how you drive.
Oh, yeah, texting. No, I don't text and drive.
No, not at all. Only when I'm in the car.
Let's get to Fanthrax.
And there's a bus on my side.
Oh, wake up, San Francisco. Jesus Christ.
Was that loud?
All right. No, I like it. No, it just, I felt it this morning. It hit me. It hit me in the amygdala. All right, what we got for Fanthrax today, Noah?
Our first letter came as a response to Love on the Spectrum. From Anonymous. Okay. One of the topics that has been brought up on the podcast is the Netflix show Love on the Spectrum. Mm-hmm. Throughout most of my childhood, pretty much until I got out of college, I was raised under the assumption I had severe Asperger's syndrome. I'm not an expert or even really an active advocate in these fields, but I have a near lifetime of firsthand experience, and I think when it comes to things like neurotypicality, people should get as many different perspectives and viewpoints as possible. Hopefully, you can take this email as not some be-all and end-all authority, but one voice, one chapter of a very complicated book, and none of it comes from a place of anger or negativity.
Okay.
Despite having lived nearly 24 years under the blanket of having Asperger's, I haven't used that label or any autistic language to actively identify myself. Frankly, it's because of shows like The Good Doctor, Atypical, or even Love on the Spectrum, which perpetuate a stereotype of my condition that makes me not want to identify with a label.
Ooh.
It's hard to describe without being a bummer how damaging these tropes are. There's nothing wrong with positivity, but the way mainstream media exemplifies autism whitewashes so much of the uncomfortable trauma that comes with the experience. Time and time again, autistic behavior gets viewed as this childlike or special thing when it is a much messier and painful experience in reality. Okay, and I want to say that like I had to condense this down and I went back and forth with the person who emailed this to us.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Just because it's very thoughtful and really important, and I'm sorry that
and
it's
thorough.
Yeah. Right. Okay. What the media is afraid to show is the hard truth. Being autistic means 99% of the time you are difficult because you don't communicate or coordinate in an optimal way for most situations. And the messed up part is the main people who you relate to are also autistic, and they can be a big pain in the ass.
Hmm.
You could deal with people with toxic anger issues, people who have severe hygiene issues, who are super uncooperative or hurt your feelings every other sentence, people that can be your best friends because they really understand you. The experience of being diagnosed as a kid is very different from being diagnosed as an adult. I also want to clarify, I love my traits and quirks. I love my offbeat sensibilities, openness, and bluntness, but I hate this label of autism, this label that says I can be adorable, but I can't be challenging. I can be precious, but I can't be powerful. This isn't me saying Love on the Spectrum is bad. I hope you continue to watch and talk about it. I still haven't seen it. I don't want to see it. This is how deep the stigma has sunk in our community. However, I have seen some clips of Michael on YouTube. He seems like a genuinely cool guy. It's a very uncomfortable subject to unpack. Hopefully, we can all understand why.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense of feeling like... I think that what I glean from that is that the person feels that Love on the Spectrum paints it in this like fun light, like they're so adorable and they make everything great, and we get to all kind of watch from the outside and be like, they're just cute and quirky and aww.
And also that kind of I think also like Love on the Spectrum, from what I glean from it, because I read the whole thing, is the spectrum is very wide. And Love on the Spectrum shows you one small piece of the spectrum. And I think what this person is trying to, you know, get out there is that the spectrum is very, very wide.
I do recall, though, from the first season, I want to say that there was a guy that had much more severe case of it than anyone else on the show. Do you remember him?
No,
he was an Asian boy. Okay, he was an Asian man with a father who was raised by a single father. And he was, you know, very, very different than the other people on the show that are more highly functioning. And it really did show the side from, the, like, it showed more of, like, a case that of... And then I think people you meet within Michael's world, or like just watching them go out and interact with other people with autism, you see you see different sides of the spectrum that can be obviously really trying to families, and not just whitewashed in the sense of, oh, it's all fun and cute and they're I guess it's, I want to know more, honestly. I want to know what this person wishes were different about them. Like, if they love their quirks, what are some quirks that they have that they really struggle with and just wish were not that way, and that are like the parts that you wish that would be more represented in on these shows, like Good Good Doctor and Atypical and Love on the Spectrum?
Because it just feels to them like it's too surface level. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like, I'm Jewish, right? So if a show is like, here's some Jews, and then it's like, these are the Jews, and this is what Jews do, you know, like,
sign
and
yeah.
I was thinking Curb, but
I mean,
no, but you know what I mean, like, and then it's like, okay, well, this is like, this feeds into a stereotype, and this is everything we need to really know, and this is, and it's fun to point at and whatever, and then you see a show like, I forget what the name of it was, but about the Hasidic girl that like was.
Unorthodox.
Kirsten loved that show, Unorthodox.
It's unbelievable. First of all, you have to see. Okay. Like, it is one of those shows that I can't believe I haven't convinced you to see. Oh. But then you see, like, a whole, like, dark side of Judaism and, like, this, like... And so maybe this person wants to see, like, something, like, more specific and more, like... And not just a doctor that can figure out things because he's... you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
So yeah, you just need.
We're seeing the like comforting side that makes us all feel like, oh, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know. It's just interesting.
I like it. Thank you so much for writing in to us and sharing that. I love notes that and you know, Fanthrax that shares people's experience that we don't know. Like, we all just want to empathize more with other experiences because we think we know. But you have no idea. The real world, San Diego. Okay.
Puck.
Okay, so let me play Becca from here.
Becca.
Hi, Andrew, Nikki, and Noah. First off, I love the pod. On days when my DJ is pretty SS, I really appreciate it. And I was just calling because when Nikki was talking about pain and the fear of pain never ending, it really blew my mind, and I have chronic pain, and when it was really, really bad, and I was undiagnosed for about a year, and doctors kept telling me that I was fine, and they couldn't find anything wrong with me, I really think it was the fear of dying is what made it so unbearable. Whereas now that I know what it is and I know that it's, you know, there's things that I can do to feel better if it gets bad, and I know the cause and I know it's not going to kill me. It's like, I'm fine now. So that was just really interesting.
Dude,
and I really liked that.
I went exactly through that.
That's it. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Becca. Check it.
That's good.
Yeah. Thank you, Becca. That I'm so sorry you go through chronic pain. My God. I just said it. I was like, I feel so, my heart goes out to so many people in the world, but those that suffer with chronic pain, you're so strong. Because whenever I have any kind of pain, I always think about you guys. I think the thing I shared, in case people want to know what she's talking about, was that I was listening to a meditation. The Waking Up app says working with pain. There's this meditation called Working with Pain, and you can get the Waking Up app for free if you write in and tell them you can't afford it, or you can buy it yourself. But there's a meditation that I listen to when I have migraines, and it says that a lot of the anxiety around pain is that if you think about pain in the sense that you've already borne the pain of this moment, like you're already, when you go, I can't, this is unbearable, you're actually bearing it. You just did it. Like, you're in the moment, it's happening now, and you're getting through it. That so much of pain is anxiety about it not going away. And you're thinking about the future, which you cannot predict. You don't know. A lot of times, I guess you can if you have a diagnosis, but a lot of times you don't know if it's going to go away or not. And the fear of, oh my God, why am I getting so many migraines? Am I going to have do I have a tumor in my head? All of that is really what the pain is. And if you can think about that, you've already, the moment you have right now is all that you have, and that you've actually, you've gotten through the pain already, that you can get through, you could just stay in the moment. I don't know. It was something like that.
No, but yeah, I get that. And I think relating it to like death, like once you can figure out, this isn't like, I would have like horrible.
But we all die. That's where I get trapped up on, like, I'm going to die. It's like, but you are.
No, but you feel like it's expedited, that you're going to maybe die in 2 months. And you're also maybe thinking, if you're a hypochondriac, that this pain now is bad, but the closer I get to death,
the pain's going to be even worse. And 40 years, in terms of like, you just want to get more stuff done. It's the anxiety of like, I didn't get enough done.
You want to see your nephews grow, your kids grow, right, or you don't want to die before your parents.
I'm not trying to be like, I'm dumb. I don't know. I'm just, when I think of death, I'm like, if I go tomorrow versus when I'm 90, it doesn't matter to me because I'm dead.
But it matters to everyone around you.
Yeah, but they'll be dead someday too, and then that pain will be gone of me losing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to minimize. No, of course I want everyone to live as long as they can, and I want to live as long as I can, but when I don't fear death like I feel like most people do, and I wish some people could just get, I wish I could like transfer the way I think of it to other people, because it's not because I'm like, I figured it out. I just don't know why I don't fear death the way other people do.
I get what you're saying, but to what she said though, about, she was afraid of death.
Yeah.
So that has, you know, whatever, right, however you feel about it.
You can change the way you look at it. And.
But my point though is that she has this pain, right? She decided to go to the doctor. They finally figured it out. Mm. And then she learned that it's not death related, that it's not a death sentence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, so much of it was the anxiety of potentially it being death, which, yes, what you're saying, yes, is true. But a lot of people are in her boat where it's like they still fear death. Like,
right,
to change that thought
is
a whole nother thing. But then some people won't go to the doctor when they got a pain in their neck and they think it could be a tumor. But instead, they're like, I don't want to find out the truth. But the truth really is you just have, you know, maybe like a pinched nerve.
But also,
and it's
like,
not that bad. But you know what I mean?
Sometimes
so it's like,
I think about brain aneurysms where like your brain just explodes and no one can see it coming, and it just is a healthy person and you just fucking die.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll go like, or I'll be flying in a plane and I'm like, oh my God, we could hit another plane and it could be a second of peace, boom, and then everything's done. Like it happened in a second, getting hit by a bus. And I get a little overwhelmed by that of like, oh my God, my life could be over right now if this building collapses. Like it wouldn't be a slow, like you've been diagnosed. And I get a little anxiety over that. Like I used to get in planes and be like, it could happen right now. Like we can.
Well, what's your anxiety when you drive in a single car road?
Like, when
you're afraid
I can control it. And this person walks.
I know, but let's say they come in and they kill you. So you're afraid of dying there.
No, I'm scared. I have anxiety over the fact that I'm not doing all I can right now to prevent it. When I'm in a plane, I let go of that anxiety because I don't have control. There's literally nothing I can do to get in the cockpit and go, hey, can you guys watch out for planes?
No, I get that. But I'm saying, though, even if you're driving.
No. When I'm driving, I don't have anxiety about it.
What are you? Oh, so only if you're riding.
Yeah, because
in the car.
I am aware that they could come in my lane and I'm ready to turn. And I have a plan. But when you're driving, I know you don't have a plan because you're not obsessed with it like I am. And I can't tell you.
You think you are more on point with driving than me?
No, when on a two-lane highway, because that's my number one fear. Like, but if you were in a room with lizards, fear, you would have a better plan to escape lizards than I would.
But why is what is the? I would. That'd be very scary.
But I'm saying, like,
no,
that's
I know.
Your
but
phobia.
What is the? You're saying you're not afraid of death.
I want to obviously mitigate against dying in a really gruesome way,
okay,
where my body is crushed and I hear all the people around me screaming and I have to watch people around me die. That is, I'm really scared of big crashes,
yes,
and big sounds and just very quick like that. Like,
yeah.
I would much rather die a slow agonizing death than
really?
One in a car crash. 100%.
Interesting.
If I die in a car crash, just know that it was not the way I wanted to go, and I was very, very sad about it. And it was, I would probably die from the being scared of the sound. I get really scared of, that's why I don't like air shows. That's why I don't like fireworks. I don't like balloons popping. I don't like guns. I don't like loud, abrupt sounds.
Yes. So that same fear, this person has the fear of dying in 3 months from now.
Yes, I get that. But I know that there's probably someone out there that could help me get over my fear of
yes.
this. And that's what I'm saying is maybe I could transfer however
for
I
sure.
look at it to, I could say some way that might, oh, because sometimes you say something and all of a sudden it cracks open a part of your brain where you're like, oh, I'm free of that fear now. For turbulence,
yes.
When I heard that pilots say that turbulence is like driving over a styrofoam cup on the highway, that's how much it gets in the,
mm-hmm.
that's how detrimental it would be to a flight. I was like, I'm no longer scared of turbulence.
Yes.
That just cracked it open. When Louis C.K. said that when you complain about the Wi-Fi in your airplane and you go like, oh, this bullshit.
You're in a fucking airplane.
Yeah. This used to take months and half of you would die by the time you got to the other side. Now you just take a shit and watch a movie. That cracked open something in my brain so that now when the Wi-Fi is down,
yes.
I don't care. And I used to go, what the Wi-Fi? I don't care now. All it took was one sentence. And
I get
just go...
That.
So that's
I get
what I'm
that.
Saying.
So you could crack the code before you even worry about having to go to the doctor or the like. You could get there before.
No, I could just
all
crack
that.
The code for. I'm not saying I could, but I would like to. Whatever
yes.
is in my brain that doesn't make me worry about the thing that girl and you worry about in terms of a sudden death through this cough I have or this tingle
yeah,
in my
yeah.
throat is going to mean I'm dying. However, the way I look at it, it is not. It's not on my mind. I could somehow bestow that to you if I was able to
yes.
figure out how I think of it in my head that doesn't give... I don't know how it is because it doesn't bother me. And if you can figure out how to
that,
process
yeah.
two-lane highways the way you do and give that to me, I
yeah.
could crack that open. But we just don't know how yet. That's why I think comedy is important. And like just
for sure.
podcasts and stuff like this. And books. And actually just information.
And I just feel like if you are similar to me and like this girl, like... And you have a random cough, just go. Don't avoid it. Like, don't avoid the doctor because
that's when I have a pain in my chest.
You don't go to a heart attack.
No, I just go to heartburn. Or
yeah.
I go, oh, it's one of those random, like, kind of, oh, ugh, ah. Or if I have, like, a sizzle in my brain or, like, a.
Well, Zoloft changed that for me. I don't have those next steps.
I'm just wondering why I don't go there because I am an anxious person, but there's something about, like, when I have I had numbness all in my arm the other night.
Yeah.
At the hockey game out of nowhere. I wasn't sitting in it weird.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a tight shirt on. It just was numb. And I just was like, oh, my arm is numb. Oh, that's probably just like a freak thing because I, you know, don't have enough potassium today or something. Like I wasn't, but I know that that's capable. That's probably dumb of me to assume that my arm going numb randomly as a healthy 37-year-old woman isn't an alarm going off.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
but it
hasn't come back.
You're in a crowd. You haven't gone to a hockey game
And a lot of
before.
Times anxiety. No, I didn't have anxiety. But a lot of times anxiety about my arm numbing will turn into more arm numbing. Correct?
Yes.
So that's where we get caught up. Let's get to one more anthrax.
Is it the left arm or the right arm? Because the left, like then you go, left arm's heart attack.
If
right
you type
arm
in left arm N,
yeah,
it'll
yeah.
think numb heart attack.
Yeah.
Final thought.
Okay. So this very quick one, It's from Hannah.
Hey, Andrew, Nikki, and Noah. I just wanted to hop on here and tell you something that's been really funny. I'm an elementary music teacher, and right now I am teaching my fourth and fifth graders how to play You Are My Sunshine on the xylophone. Mm-hmm. So we have to, like, you know, sing it a lot just to make sure they know it and know the notes. So whenever we sing it, you know, it goes, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." But in my head, all I can hear is Andrew saying "Oni." So I come so close to saying, "You are my sunshine, my Oni sunshine." Oh my God, it just gives me the gigs real good. It just hits the spot.
Gives me the gigs.
So I hope that hit the spot for you as well.
Oh, your voice is so good.
Thanks for the podcast. Angel, I feel like laughs. Love you all. Bye.
Her talking voice is awesome, and then her singing voice, man, will you record something?
I feel like she only did that to show off her voice.
No, you think sometimes people do that, but it like no. She just had a naturally great voice.
Yeah, that was gorgeous.
Oni.
My Oni sunshine.
Oh, my God. You make me happy. There used to be a comedian named Oni Perez. Did you ever know him?
No, it's Only.
I know.
I did know Oni. He's from Florida.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's so sweet.
Nice guy.
He used to work at
Eastville.
Eastville, that's right. Well, you guys, that I hope we have that song caught in our heads all day today. You are my sunshine, my Oni sunshine. Eggs. You make me happy during clouds of gray. You'll never know, dear. What are the other words you do?
How much I love you. Please don't take my turbulence away.
Turbulence.
Happy birthday, Brenna. I love you, baby.
Happy birthday, Brenna. Kisses, baby. Miss you, miss you. Love you, baby. And don't be Kurt and Jack.
Jack, be nimble.
I think we've done Be Nimble.
We haven't done Ripper. I feel like you're Googling at night.
I'm not.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.